state of Florida. Yes, I mean freedom in a sense of absence of government getting involved in your business. I think that's typically when you believe in constitutionally limited government. You keep government in its corner, keep it cabined. And I think traditionally we assume the rest of society would function better. Well, I think modern times we've seen the left get into so many different arteries of our society. So yes, you have to limit government's involvement with you, but you also have to contest the left and all these other institutions.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question about, you know, what are the preconditions or what's the system within which you can afford to have a limited or a small government, the kind of thing that conservatives and libertarians have historically believed in. And he's right about a couple of things. One is that when leftism is already in control of so many of the institutions of the, you know, society, like media, for example, then, you know, what do you do to create the kind of balance or to restore the balance that's supposed to be there? Well, this is what he's doing at the university level, right? In fact, that's what this is going to be. This is from a speech he gave about a week ago, a week, 10 days ago, something like that, at Hillsdale College in Michigan. Anyway, the other thing is, this is a long topic. I hadn't really planned on talking about this, but it's worth mentioning. Not every population is capable of thriving in the presence of great freedom. The level of freedom that any population will do well with depends on the virtue of that population. It's just like kids. There's no right level of freedom for a kid, generically speaking. There's the right amount of freedom for this kid at this kid's age, with this kid's level of maturity, wisdom, knowledge of the world, responsibility, and decency, right? The level of freedom that you give a 17-year-old is not wise to give a 2-year-old because they're dumb and bad. You know, they're morally problematic and they're, like, pragmatically problematic. And so you have to adjust the level of freedom as the child grows. You give them more and more as they become more mature and more knowledgeable. And you always want to give them a little bit more than they can handle because that gives them the range of freedom within which to make some mistakes that they learn from and grow, and that's how they get better so they can handle more freedom. Well, same thing for a population in the aggregate. There's no guarantee that just because you have adults that are 18 that they all ought to have maximum freedom. A very, very good population, both knowledge about the world, pragmatics, and, you know, decency, virtue, morality, they can be given a massive amount of freedom because they're going to use it well. But if all the people are, you know, I don't know, former Soviet satellites, to take an example, people who have been oppressed for so long, if you give them maximum freedom, what do you get? Corruption, bribery, oligarchy, terrible situations. And that's just true. So in order to protect the ability to thrive and prosper and not descend into chaos in a society that has a large amount of individual liberty, you have to have good people. And so if you're failing to produce good people, giving them a whole bunch of freedom is only going to screw everything up worse. You know, the average performs up and you can get more freedom. The average performs down and you get curfews and government control, whether they're 18 or 50, doesn't really matter. Anyway, back to the point. So just kind of general understanding of where freedom comes from and what really preserves it. Small government on its own is not the answer. Small government plus good people is the answer because they can afford to have it. And the problem is always when the people are bad, problems are created, and then people invite more government to solve those problems. That winds up reducing freedom even more, but it's a long conversation about the nature of government. Anyway, back to Governor DeSantis and talking about, you know, well, why is it if you believe in smaller government, are you censoring books, for example, or, you know, removing books from libraries?
So when I say the free state of Florida, I mean not only limited government, but I also mean I have a responsibility to protect my citizens from having the pathologies of the left imposed upon them by all these other institutions in our society.
If we're growing terrible people through leftism in the schools, eventually protecting freedom at the state level is going to become impossible. We've got to prevent that at the low level so we can protect it at the end result level. But what about the library books and censorship of those? Isn't that an infringement on freedom? We'll get to that in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Certainly caution wherever you are. Accident 97 and 4, and that's in the north end of the county, Walnut Hills, Century area, certainly. If you see an accident or slowdown or you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Governor DeSantis speaking at Hillsdale College recently.
This wasn't true when I was in school, and I graduated from public high school in Florida, but they are putting pornographic materials in the schools. Why are they doing this? It's an agenda, but parents have a right to send their 10-year-old to school without them being exposed to this. So we've empowered parents to object when things violate our standards. What the media says is Florida wants to ban books. They don't want access to books. And, you know, first of all, adults can do what they want. A school, by definition, has to curate what's in a library or curate what's in a classroom. And if you're using tax dollars to make decisions to put pornographic materials in, that's not an appropriate use of our tax dollars. We're going to make sure that that's not happening.
That's exactly right. And the proof that they are inappropriate is in the pudding of what happens when you start streaming them on news channels while you're doing a press conference or a presentation on this topic.
I did an event to expose this. We called it Exposing the Book Ban Hoax. But before I brought the parents up to talk, before I said anything, we played a video where we showed all this material that the parents had been objecting to. The local news crews covering it had to cut their feed. They said it was too graphic to show. Well, if it's too graphic for the 6 o'clock news, how is it appropriate for a 9-year-old kid?
That's exactly right. And then, you know, thinking about the various things regarding transgenderism and gender ideology and the pronouns and all of this. And here's what he says.
We've also drawn a line in the sand and said that parents in Florida have a right to send their kids to school without having a teacher telling their kids that they can change their gender or that they can pick different pronouns. Gender ideology should not be taught in our K through 12 schools. And I don't care if Disney feels otherwise, we're going to make sure we're standing with parents and we're standing with students.
And by the way, you remember I told you this, that the part of the parental rights update for the bill that's going through the session this year would say, for example, that in a school board meeting, you are allowed to read from the material, whereas, you know, in the school board meetings, they typically tell you can't read from the material because it's inappropriate for people to hear it. You're like, but doesn't that mean, you know, so there, and the rule will be when it gets put into place, if you don't let parents or concerned citizens read from the material, then you have to remove the material. If it's so bad you can't let them read from it, it shouldn't be in the school in the first place. He also talked in this his comments at Hillsdale about diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, although he has a different rework. He has an interesting reworking of that acronym.
I'll be signing legislation within the next couple weeks to eliminate all so-called DEI programs from the state of Florida's universities. They say it's diversity, equity, inclusion, but in reality, those are euphemisms. It's really ideology imposed through the administrative apparatus of the university. And I think it's DEI is division, exclusion, and indoctrination. And that has no place in our public institutions.
There was a note that came out of this speech that it was actually he did a speech for about a half hour. And it's clearly a stump speech. He's clearly running for president. And by the way, a different kind of stump speech than he gave in California about a month ago. They were different. I listened to that one, too, and they're different. A lot of overlapping content, but certainly the one was, you know, red meat for political supporters in California. This was more thoughtful, enlightened, you know, the really thinking through some of the policies and some of the structures and the constitutional authority for it at Hillsdale, which is, an academic institution of higher learning. But I thought this was fascinating. Came as a side note in the first question he was asked about his book that he just released. And, you know, who tends to release books as politicians? People who are running for office, you know, typically for president. And here's what he said. This I thought was very surprising.
First of all, I actually did write the book. I mean, I know most people in my position would not. And it wasn't that I basically say, how did you manage to do that? You're governor, and I was running for re-election, all this stuff. And basically, I just slept less. I cut that back on the sleep, and you just made it happen late at night for a period of many months. But I did not want to have someone else write it because it wouldn't have been authentically in my voice. And so I was the only one that could do it.
Who's ever heard of somebody writing their own book in his position? It's always ghostwritten. It's always by somebody. And he's like, nah, I think I need to say this myself. That's cool, man. I mean, extra credit for just writing the book yourself, especially with all the stuff he's responsible for doing. 620 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Pete Moore Imports lineup of Volkswagen crossovers and SUVs will fit your lifestyle and your particular budget, whether a Taos, Tiguan, or Atlas. Pete Moore offers you smart choices, starting with the 2023 VW Taos. This sporty crossover is a joy to drive and is packed with technology. Right now, a 2023 Taos SE is discounted to start from $31,439. The 2023 Tiguan SE comes with third-row seating, modern looks, and cargo capacity to hold plenty. It's discounted to start from $32,899. And for the ultimate comfort and more than enough room for your family, friends, and furry companions, the VW Atlas is built for adventure. The 23 Atlas SE with technology, now from $41,599. Pete Moore Imports has the selection and prices you've been searching for. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill? Join Compass Solar Energy this Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we all navigate through the rising cost of energy. That's this Thursday at 10:30 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Control, control. You must run control.
Two Chinese nationals were arrested Monday on charges of operating an illegal police station in New York City. The Justice Department said the men set up the police station in Chinatown and used it to, quote, monitor and intimidate critics of the Chinese government. Federal prosecutors said the secret police station was closed last fall after the men became aware of the FBI investigation.
The what now? Secret Chinese police station? Not ancient Chinese secret. Secret Chinese police station operating in Chinatown in New York to harass dissidents, you know, to harass people who come here to seek political freedom from persecution in their... Wow. Holy smokes, man. Okay. All right. As U.S. Attorney Breon Peace says, what a great name for a U.S. attorney. He's a top federal prosecutor in Brooklyn. He says, New York City is home to New York's finest, the NYPD. We don't need or want a secret police station in our great city. I will be honest. I have read a couple of articles on this story. I've heard it presented a couple times on the TV, and I don't still exactly understand what they were doing or what makes it a police station per se. But to have the Chinese operating here to harass dissidents, you had me at that. You know, I'm good enough to understand that that's really bad. 6:25 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Accident 97 and 4 in Walnut Hill. It looks like it is tying things up on 97 in both directions. Caution there and wherever you are. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
An appeals court has now upheld former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin's conviction for George Floyd's murder. Chauvin claimed he was unable to get a fair trial because of media coverage and protests. The Minnesota Court of Appeals rejected that argument this week and upheld his 22-year sentence. Former NFL player Chris Smith has died at the age of 31. He passed away this week. His cause of death has not been revealed. Throughout his career, Smith played for the Panthers, the Jaguars, Bengals, Browns, Raiders, and the Texans. Dominion Voting System's defamation lawsuit against Fox News set for trial this morning in Delaware Superior Court. The $1.6 billion lawsuit alleges that Fox knowingly spread misinformation about their voting machines in 2020. Of course, Fox says the allegations that they reported are protected by the First Amendment.
Yeah. I'll say based on not having sat in on this trial, I am not a juror in the trial, and I'm always cautious about what the jury might hear and decide at the end of the case. But looking at everything that's known about this story from at this point, I don't see Fox prevailing. And the First Amendment does not protect defamation or the deliberate spreading of lies that wind up maligning somebody's reputation or business. That's kind of the definition of defamation. It does not protect that. David, thanks so much for the update. 626 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're going through TSA at the airport, you're going to want to take a little bit of extra time because they say they're switching out the screening equipment starting Monday, April 24th, so a week from yesterday. And TSA is going to take a line at a time out of service. So they're going to put in better CT scanning technology so you can take home that better family photo with you from the even more security conscious version of the scan. So anyway, they're saying 2 hours. 2 hours you want to allow when that is ongoing starting next week. And we got word yesterday that the base is going to be open again this weekend, the 22nd and 23rd, that's Saturday and Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Westgate only, back gate access off of Blue Angel. Any U.S. citizen or anybody 18 years and older must have a real ID or a passport, which is a Florida state driver's license, of course. Minors do not have to have ID. And then all the same rules apply that we've been talking about many different times. You know, no weapons. Even if you have a concealed carry permit, you cannot take a gun on the base. No. No backpacks or coolers, no alcohol, no drones, no felony convictions. Interestingly, you're not allowed to go on the base if you have a felony conviction.
No drugs.
Yeah, no drugs. No visitors with boats and boat trailers. I'm just trying to picture like one family doing all this wrong, you know, taking coolers and felons and guns and drugs and drones and boats. And yeah. you will find yourself going in the opposite direction fairly quickly or escorted to a different place. You know, that's always
the secret jail.
So here's my thought about this. When we had one base visit last year, that was a big deal. That was a special event.
Yes.
When we had a second base visit weekend, month ago, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, whenever that was?
About a month ago, yeah.
Okay. That was cool, and, well, that seemed to be establishing a nice, follow-up. Third time, this is a dry run. This is a new policy. I'm not saying I've talked to the base commanders, but everything I'm hearing sort of around this is that not specifically connected, but I'd heard this before, is that the basically the idea is, can we do base access by having the back gate and some extra staff? How many staff would it take? What would the policies and procedures need to look like in order to make it so that we could go back to sort of the old way of doing things, where we'd come in off the back gate and go see the lighthouse or the museum or the Blue Angels practices if it's midweek? So if you ask me, one is a treat, two is also kind of a treat, three is a plan. Three is a plan.
I guess we'll see. I hope so.
This to have it so soon after the other one, that's the only way you can interpret this.
How else are we going to ditch our relatives when they come to visit? We need the base open.
Yes, absolutely. I think this is, I won't say that this is the last time we do it this way before there's an official announcement, but I'm hesitant to be optimistic because, the base has been closed for so long and I don't want to get anybody's hopes up before they're actually available. I feel like by summer, this is going to be the way it goes. And hopefully, fingers crossed, because it's all a matter of funding and staffing, not just on weekends, but weekdays too. That would be Blue Angels practices, right? So that's what Andrew McKay, in his childlike optimism, based on what I see happening with now the third time in a year we're doing this, that this has all been, dry running to make sure that we've got all the right policies and the way we're handling it, adapting to all this so that we can actually do this full time. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Local schools are beefing up their security. More after Fox.
Giuliana DeLossi. Jailed Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gorskovich appeared in Moscow court to appeal his detention on spying charges today. He could face up to 20 years in prison if convicted. He and his employer deny all charges. This as Russian President Vladimir Putin made a trip to Kherson, Ukraine, near the front lines of the war. Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking from Japan.
As Ukraine prepares to launch a counteroffensive to take back its land, to liberate its people and occupied territories, to stop the missiles, bombs, and drones which continue to rain down on its civilians, we stand with Ukraine.
An 84-year-old white man in Kansas City, Missouri, has been charged with first-degree assault for shooting a black teenager who mistakenly went to the man's home to pick up his younger brother, 16-year-old Ralph Yarl, now recovering at home. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31. News Radio 92.3. Partly cloudy. It is 50. Beautiful morning out right now here in Pensacola. In light of more and more mass shootings across the nation, local school districts in Northwest Florida are now looking for ways that they can increase their on-campus security. Here in Escambia County, School Protection Services Director Kyle Kinzer tells Channel 3 they've got a new crisis alert system.
It connects, you know, your school response team, whether that's a law enforcement officer or a guardian, but it also connects them to 911. And so that way, not only does 911 know that there's a problem, they're able to dispatch deputies and officers to that school. They're able to see exactly where that threat is out on a specific campus.
And it's a phone app that goes on teachers' phones and acts as a panic button of sorts. Santa Rosa County Director Daniel Hahn says that's one of the measures that they employ is a one-way in and one-way out system. A Pensacola woman now facing a kidnapping charge, accused of pulling a child into a motel room against that child's will. 32-year-old Jaliza Williams facing a kidnapping, a minor charge. She's being held on $100,500 bond. Investigators say that happened on Sunday afternoon on Pensacola Boulevard at a Motel 6. According to the arrest report, Williams wasn't coherent when questioned by investigators, and allegedly she also had marijuana on her and some unknown pills that have been sent to FDLE to be tested. Governor Ron DeSantis still isn't formally in the presidential race yet, but a super PAC backing the governor, already spending millions going after former President Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is being attacked by a Democrat prosecutor in New York. So why is he spending millions attacking the Republican governor of Florida? Trump's stealing pages from the Biden-Pelosi playbook.
The New York Times reporting the two groups, MAGA Inc. backing Trump and DeSantis supporting Never Back Down, has spent a combined $7.5 million on ads recently. On Monday, DeSantis was quick to shoot down questions about the ads.
Look, why? I mean, this is a big announcement. I mean, like, honestly, you're asking me about political process. I mean, why don't we focus on this issue at hand? Yes, sir.
And DeSantis has said he'll make a formal decision on a run for president only after the legislative session is over next month. Well, work begins soon on that new $6 million sports medicine facility at the University of West Florida, the Sandy Sansing Sports Medicine Center. It's going to be in addition to the Daryl Gooden Center on the UWF campus. Athletic Director Dave Scott talked to News Radio yesterday. He says it's a much-needed addition for the campus.
We added football and women's swim and dive a few years ago, but we didn't increase our space to take care of those student-athletes when they have injuries or rehabbing from those injuries. So what this will do, will create a space downstairs with treatment facilities, hydrotherapy, exam rooms, rehab space that student-athletes can use.
And Scott also says the Florida College of Medicine is moving into that facility when it's done. He says that'll open up room for athletics programs elsewhere on campus. The groundbreaking ceremony being held today at 4 o'clock at the UWF campus. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
One accident this morning. This is on State Road 97 and number 4, and it is backing things up on 97. That's the Walnut Hill area. Caution there, the north north end of the county. That's all I'm seeing right now. If you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Another cold start in the upper 40s to lower 50s, but today we get into the upper 70s with sunny skies, and we're near 80 on Wednesday. We should see 80s begin to pop up area-wide starting Thursday and to end the rest of the work week as a few clouds begin to drift in. We do have a small rain chance Saturday morning with the rest of the work week, and next couple of days look dry. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
All right, have a great day. Right now it's 50 degrees here in Pensacola, 57 in Gulf Breeze, 45 in Milton. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said coming legislation would nullify agreements Disney struck in February to maintain substantial control over the land near Orlando, where its theme parks are located. The latest round in a continuing battle between the governor and the entertainment giant. DeSantis accused Disney of defying his administration and the legislature by securing those agreements with a local board whose members the company effectively selected just weeks before a new board picked by the governor was poised to take over. Breakthroughs in generative artificial intelligence technologies could expose about two-thirds of U.S. jobs to some level of automation, according to a report by Goldman Sachs. Goldman says despite significant uncertainty around the potential for generative AI, its ability to generate content that's indistinguishable from human-created output, and to break down communication barriers between humans and machines reflects a major advance with potentially large macroeconomic effect. That's Your Money Now.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlique Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Hey, Pensacola, it's Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing. We've been Pensacola's plumber for over 50 years. From leaking faucets to replacing sewer lines, we get the job done. My dad, Louis Barbieri, started this company over 50 years ago with a vision of providing the best service with honesty and integrity for our community. He also started our flat rate pricing system, where you know exactly what the job will cost before the work is done, so there are no surprises. Last year, we were voted Best Plumbing Company in Pensacola's Best of the Bay. Voting has begun in this year's Best of the Bay, and we would appreciate your vote again. We know you don't always need a plumber, but when you do, call Barbieri Plumbing, 850-477-8782. That's 850-477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Remember, Barbieri Plumbing.
License number RF1106-7749.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow morning at 9 to join me, Tasca King, and I'll show you how to navigate through the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. That's tomorrow morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Some of y'all may have known from the news, we were awarded a $10 million grant. We didn't know what was happening until quite close to this announcement that was made today. We had visitors from D.C. come down to share with us the good news. And Sandy Woodbury is the person who made the grant application just so that we could be considered. And it assists with replacing aged infrastructure that Mr. Cook has been monitoring in his capital improvements project repair and maintenance schedule.
Big good news note out of the Milton City Council last week. Of course, we covered this when it had happened as well. But this is Mayor Heather Lindsay talking about the good work of Sandy Woodbury and Joe Cook, the grants and the public works directors, and all that money that came into the city in order to refurbish the pipes for the natural gas operation. City Manager Randy Jorgensen celebrating the news.
7.4 miles of line, cast iron pipe, and aged steel. It's a significant investment on the part of the Department of Transportation and federal level pipeline and hazardous materials safety. We want to thank them for their award. $10 million is not insignificant.
Not insignificant. Randy Jorgensen is the master of understatement. You know, $10 million is, it's not zero. It's $10 million. It's a huge bump for the city to be getting this money. But he doesn't ever raise his voice or speak fast. He's not like me. Jeff Snow, meanwhile, City Councilman Jeff Snow, again, praising the staff.
You know, I just want to praise staff, really, what this impact of this grant and all of the other grants. I mean, I believe they've received the city of Milton has received $60 million in grants in the last 4 years, which is
that's amazing.
An amazing job. Sandy does the grant writing as good as anyone.
Sandy is the one, remember, who got all those grants so the wastewater treatment plant could be funded, which drives the, you know, the Pitchfork Posse crazy. But and they would be just as happy to get rid of her, I guess. I don't know, but she does fantastic work, and she's certainly a big credit to the city of Milton. So you say, well, what's dramatic about that? The days of our Milton, I don't hear any drama. I don't hear any problems. Nobody's getting called fat over this, are they? Oh, well, you know, remember, they did the picture, okay? Randy's in the picture, and Heather Lindsay's in the picture, and Jeff Snow's in the picture, but not everybody got invited to the picture to celebrate the $10 million, so the people who weren't in the picture, like Councilman Mike Cusack, hey guys!
Does anyone else want to make a comment?
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment. When something like this happens, is there some reason why council has not received an email about it?
Oh, he didn't get invited to the picture.
I don't know. I thought that there was a press release or that I thought there was communication.
There were. I didn't receive anything.
There were press releases. I do understand. I got a call earlier today that they hadn't been seen. I apologize for that. We were at one point notified of the intent of a group from Washington to come down here. They did indicate to us during the course of those conversations that it shouldn't be shared.
Yeah, initially it was confidential, I guess, because they weren't sure of their schedule or if they could actually come. I'm not really sure. But then I was locked out of my email, or I would have been happy to have forwarded something to you all. But I haven't been able to use my email until today.
So so they wanted it kept confidential. But, I mean, I understand where Mike's coming from. You know, I'm a city council member. I should be informed about these things, involved in these things. And, gosh darn it, why couldn't I be in that picture? You know, I mean, you got to know. But also, when the city just got, like, $10 million, and, I mean, the budget of Milton is, I mean, it's like a third of their budget. I mean, that's a crazy large amount of money to be getting for something like this. And, you know, it's a weird way to celebrate that, to be like, how come you didn't call me?
I'll ensure that you get personally notified.
Yeah, I just think it would be nice for us to kind of know what's going on, right?
I understand.
You know.
Yeah, well,
it's important.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
And Bethany Anderson, who's the new public information officer for the city, to her credit, comes back a little bit later during her segment, and she's so much more diplomatic than I would ever be. Because she's just, man, her background's in news, and she seems like a super sweetheart and very, very sharp. And here's what she said about this all after it had been simmering for a few minutes off stage, so to speak.
Councilman Cusack, you raise a really good point. To the knowledge that was given to me, this was an extremely, extremely private event. But to your point, I think that any single press release that goes out to the media should also go out to council. Therefore, I have added you effectively tonight to the media outlist.
Thank you.
So you should be aware.
See, I'd be the one that's like, you know, we just got 30% of our annual budget granted to us, and your concern is you weren't in the photo? That'd be Mike. I mean, that is my. I'm here. I am on the radio saying it. Bethany Anderson's like, well, now, councilman, you know, you're right. And we can do a better job of making sure to include you in all the future things. And even though this was more of a confidential thing, I appreciate that concern. She's so much more diplomatic. This is why I can never be elected, because I can never be the one that says it that way. And by the way, let me say, I appreciate that Mike is forthright. Mike, you never wonder where he stands. OK, you never wonder where he stands. But he's showing a habit of reacting to good news this way, like, you know, finding a way to find a problem in the good news. And I'll tell you more in just a second here. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Taking a look around, we just see that one accident right now. It's a 4 and 97, and this is in Walnut Hill, and it is tying up 97 southbound. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to city council, we're going to say, you know, Councilman Mike Cusack, he's new in the job, but he seems to be developing this pattern of finding a way to find the problem in the good news a lot. And here's an example. Okay, there was some financial, reallocating based on how interest rates had changed. The finance director, Curtis Krebs, came up with a good way to save the county, save the city a bunch of money, make the city a bunch of money. And Mike Cusack's question is,
the CDs were in place for some of them for 10, 11, 12 years, and we can waited until June of 2022 to convert them. Why did we, if they're, from these numbers are telling me that we should have maybe done this a long time ago. So can you give some insight of why we waited for that June 2022?
So I know you just made us a bunch of money and saved us a bunch of money, but why didn't you do it sooner? Like, I think you misspelled thank you. and there's kind of this pattern. He did it with the Pace Water thing too. Like, you know, well, why does this benefit us to do this interconnect? Well, because it's going to make us money right off the top from impact fees, and also we're going to reduce septic issues. That was also a problem. I mean, and here in the refinancing one, well, you did a good thing, but why didn't you do it sooner?
You know, my thing is I'm seeing this kind of money return. I'm sitting there, geez, if we could have done it 6 months earlier or 4 months earlier or 3 months earlier, we would have realized greater return, right? That's the only point I would.
Councilman, actually, we could not. At that point in time.
And the CFO, Curtis Krebs, explained why not. And it's a long explanation, but here's a part of it.
Finally, when the interest rates start going up, that's when we made the move to go forward with this.
Okay.
It made sense at the time.
There
was no possibility of doing it before that.
Okay. Well, that's kind of the question I had. But I think it was important for council just to see here the difference of money now, right?
Yes.
I mean, just, it's weird. It's like, you're really, really good at snatching criticism from the jaws of celebration. You know, like, it's just odd.
It's like, here's an apple. What do you say?
Yeah. Well, why aren't there two,
Yeah, peel it.
It's not even red. God, you know, like, okay. And seriously, just kind of a pattern. So, you know, if the council member is listening, I would just say, you know, every once in a while, it's okay to just be happy about a thing. Every once in a while, it's okay to just celebrate the good news. 6:49 on News Radio 92.3. That's this week's edition of Days of Our Milton.
This week? You know we're going to have more.
Oh, okay. Maybe so. I'm Andrew McKay.
With all the events and class reunions coming up, one of the sure things on the menu is weight loss. Tune in this Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as one of the ProHealth team members will be the guest, and we'll be discussing how ProHealth Medical Weight Loss Program can help you get in shape for summer and beyond. Get ready to feel and look better with the ProHealth Medical Weight Loss Program on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guest ProHealth.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Celebrate this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk for their 21st annual Crawfish Festival. Enjoy live music all weekend long by Bangarang Peter, Rusty Matoya and the Zydeco Crush, Dusty Sanders, and many, many more. The 5K starts at 8 Saturday morning, then fireworks Saturday night, and you'll definitely want to sink your teeth into some of the best hot, juicy crawfish and enjoy the beach-famous daiquiris while watching the sunset. It's all this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620.
Gallon gas, 367. Florida, 361. Mississippi has 316. And California has 491, pushing $5 again. 331 east and west at the Walmarts in Navarre. 331 at the Murphy across from the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. And 349 at the Exxon in proper. 337 at the Sefco in Milton. 337 at the Murphy across from the Walmart in Pea Ridge. And then 339 at a couple of the stations going through Pace. Getting over into Pensacola. Looks like 329 at the Walmart on 9 Mile, 332 at the US 29 Murphy in front of the Walmart. And coming in from the southwest side, they're all bad. No, really, they're like, just don't buy gas down there, man. What do you need it for? 338, I guess, at the Navy Murphy store. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMoreImports.com. Let's go to the newsroom now. David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
The White House says President Biden has spoken with the black teenager that was shot last week when he rang the wrong doorbell in Missouri. In their conversation, the president wished 16-year-old Ralph Yarl a speedy recovery. The bulk of TV and film writers could be getting closer to going on strike. On Monday, the Writers Guild of America authorized the strike. That means union leadership can call a strike if negotiations with the big Hollywood studios were to fall apart. Writers want better compensation for streaming TV shows. And Dearborn, Michigan's Greenfield Village is going to be taking possession of the Alabama home where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. planned historic civil rights marches. The Henry Ford president and CEO, Patricia Meradian, calls it exciting.
When we announced it this morning, you could feel the energy in the room. There's a lot of excitement from our team members and from other community leaders we've shared this story with.
The Jackson House, where King planned the march from Selma to Montgomery to advocate for the rights of blacks to vote, is the one that's going to be taken. The home's going to be dismantled in Alabama, taken to Dearborn, and be rebuilt.
That's the connection I was waiting for. I'm like, why is Deerfield Village in Detroit? Because I grew up in that area, and that's a great place to go. It's a wonderful, you know, historic location. Why would they be taking possession of Martin Luther King's home in Mississippi? Oh, because they're going to move it to Michigan.
Right.
Which is also odd to me.
It's a little strange.
Yeah,
it seems like Alabama's kind of missing out on a big piece of history. Yeah.
Right. Okay. David, thanks so much for the update. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, man. Talk about like, uh-oh. You ready? McDonald's is changing its burgers.
No.
New Coke, baby. Yeah, no, McDonald's, and I already vetted this story with my wife, who that's her place. She loves McDonald's fries particularly, but also burgers. I vetted this with her to be like, so how do you react to this? So here's what they say. Okay, they are making it so that the griddle on which they fry your burgers is going to be hotter, so you get a better sear. That's I understand that, okay, theoretically. Meltier cheese.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure why that matters, but okay. They're going to do they're going to add onions directly to the patty when they're cooking them instead of, I guess, whatever they do now, which is
they use reconstituted onions, right?
There you go.
So it's okay.
And they say this is going to be for not just like the Big Mac, but this is on the cheeseburger, double, and the hamburger. This is all the burgers.
And quarter pounder and all
of
that.
So they're, apparently, I don't know if the quarter pounder, because it doesn't list it specifically here, but they said that they have been testing this internationally. Why would you test a McDonald's? Well, I guess because, you know, they don't matter. If it goes bad internationally, we can write it off. But they have already arrived in some major cities, Los Angeles, Seattle, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and it'll be everywhere by next year. Look, could be fantastic, but my thought is, why would you mess with you know,
dude,
why do are you struggling somehow?
The like, McDouble is my go-to.
It's like
every day,
exactly.
10:30.
So remember they switched to fresh beef for the quarter pounders back in 2018, and that apparently worked. That
probably,
paid off.
Yeah,
so anyway, you know, I know it's easy to think, oh God, new Coke. But hey, time will tell.
I'll let you know when it happens.
And
I'll be your infield reporter.
Say, and if we're honest amongst ourselves, people don't go to McDonald's for the burgers. They go for the fries, and they eat the burgers. So if that can make it a go for the – oh, you disagree with me about that?
I mean, I do, but I'm sure I'm not. I'm in the minority.
We'll see.
I'm the exception, not the rule.
Candy the Burger Aficionado has traffic on the five.
I am. I'm with Danny. I totally get it. That is going to be weird, and I'm sure we'll both let you know. Watching one accident, vehicle crash with injuries and a roadblock. It's in Walnut Hill, 97 and 4, and it is tying up 97. I know it's a way, way north end of the county, but still be careful. Be careful anyway. But if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. If you've got any kind of a car maintenance need, Bobby Likas Auto Service, they'll work on anything. Okay, they do work on it. They work on the diesel engines, which you might think you got to take those to a special shop. Well, they're a special shop, you know, okay? Your daily runaround, you know, your truck, your whatever, no problem, okay? Also, imports, you know, Beamer, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus, they work on those all the time because you don't have to take them to the dealership. You might think you do, you don't. Take them to Bobby Likas right here on Davis Highway. They work on it. They'll save you money, save you time. You don't have to drive to Mobile if that's where the dealership is. CarClinicService.com, that is the website. 2021 top-rated car service center, 4.5 reviews or above by Carfax. And the idea is preventative maintenance. So you don't have to, you know, put out for the big thing because you're preventing it along the way. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. All right, this story, this is wild. California, under a mandate from the government to basically simplify their power bills, they are rolling out socialism for power bills based on income. If you make $28,000 to $69,000 a year for one of the territories, for Edison, for example, you'd pay $20 a month flat fee for your utilities, not based on usage. That's also crazy, but okay. $20 a month. If you make $69,000 to $180,000, you pay $51. And if you make over $180,000, you pay $85. Same price range variation for PG&E and SDG&E. So essentially what they're saying is you make double, you pay double, you make triple, you make triple. Which if you apply that thinking across the spectrum, people making more pay more and people making less pay less, kind of undermines the point of making more because it just means that the people who make more pay more for their products. I mean, imagine going to the gas station. They're like, how much is it? You know, oh, well, how much do you make? Oh, well, it's $6 a gallon for you. For you, $2 a gallon. Based on what? Income? It's California. As if they're not doing enough to drive their citizens to Florida. All right, time for a quick future news. NAS Pensacola access this weekend. Will we soon be seeing a formal plan to make it ongoing access weekends and or weekdays because of what we're seeing with these
yes,
three access days?
Yes, help us ditch our relatives when they're in town.
Yeah, I'm not 100%, but I'm approaching 100%. Will the McDonald's burgers be a big success?
Yes.
I would think yes. Honestly, I would think
I'll
that's going to be the case. Yeah. We'll be back in a minute.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.